it's just a rap thing. And we're back with episode 36 of The Sounds of Struggle. I am Chris Parrish.
I'm on my way to a concert.
Wee-wee! Yes, we are going to see Metallica.
And Avenged Sevenfold.
Yeah, and guess what?
What?
These people aren't.
Well, they might have.
Well, might be, actually.
Well, by the time this comes out, might have, but might be. Point is, we're going.
Yeah, and if you're not, suck it!
Yeah. In the face.
Yeah. Because, you know, where else would you suck it?
Yes.
Do you?
Again?
I don't know.
It's ancient monk tradition.
Wouldn't that... Oh, I thought it was Jewish.
Either way.
Well, that's a whole different side of having your two cents.
Yes.
Anyway, getting a little off topic with...
Hey, congratulations.
For what?
For retaining your CWC championship.
Oh, did I do that?
Oh, yes, you did.
Huh. God, where have I been?
Probably knocked the fuck out.
No, because I drank with you after.
Yeah, we did. A whole lot.
Yeah, we closed the bar, struggle style.
And then set it on fire.
Yeah. Like, their health and safety procedures aren't that safe.
Not anymore, because the place burned down.
Yeah, jeez. Selfish building for thinking they could out-duel the tag struggle.
Yeah. Couldn't hang with the boys.
Well... I mean, war on fire, the building got jealous, end of story.
Yeah. Point is, we're struggle-icious, bitch.
Yeah, because in 7 days, the struggle are successful 2-0 in ladder matches.
That puts you, what, 11 and... No, Not... sorry, 9 for 11?
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty good record.
Yeah, I'm 9 for 11. Yeah, I don't think we should talk about burning buildings anymore now.
Nope.
No, that's a technical foul.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, once again, I beat Jack Pride.
What a shock.
Yeah. Wow. I think I beat Jack Pride more than Adrian Peterson beats his kid.
I have no comment on that one.
He's a saint, so I'm hoping he at least has a good year this year.
Well, fair enough.
Yeah. So, other than that, yeah.
I put him through a ladder.
You did. It was glorious.
Yes, it was. I won't give in. I won't give in. Until I'm victorious. You're victorious.
When I win, we win.
Yes. A win for one is a win for all. Tag struggle.
So, other than CWC, because, I mean, we'll only focus on the positives.
Yes.
So, the positive coming out of CWC is that I still have a nose.
Yes. That's, you know, 45 degrees to the left, but it's still there.
It's not as bad as Sean Horkoff's.
No.
Or Mike Ricci's.
No.
And I'm not as ugly as the Irishman.
Definitely not.
Or Mike Mallowaney.
Hell no.
Or Jack Pride.
That's true. You're not even close to that.
No. For all the girls who are mad at that comment, he's ugly in the inside.
It's true. He has the mental capacity of a 12-year-old. And the penis to match!
For all the girls who also want to disagree, please...
We don't give a fuck!
Please stop asking me to boot for you.
Yeah.
Anyway, since CWC... World of Sports.
It finally happened! It finally happened! Way later than you said it would, but it finally happened!
What?
Oh, Leon Draisaitl got an extension.
What?
Yeah, good old 8-year, $64 million. Cool. $1 million.
68, actually.
I don't give a fuck. Point is, he's getting paid, son!
8.8 and a half is 68.
You're 8.8 and a half is 68.
Well, I'm just saying, I made a Jewish comment.
Inches!
I made a Jewish comment.
Around.
I'm using my Judaism to, you know, do
you
the proper math.
You are the worst Jew ever.
I know, that's why I'm part German, actually.
There you go. Which is, so is he. Full circle.
Who is who?
Leon.
Oh, yeah. So, And you guys thought we were talking about somebody else.
Did we?
Well, who's another famous Jewish German?
Are there any?
Needless to say,
gotcha.
Leon Draisaitl, yes, 8 years, $68 million,
just shy of 9.
Yeah, you know he couldn't have gone 69. Like really? Like come on, it would have been such a sexy bargain.
Yes.
Unless the others don't have that cap anymore.
Probably not.
Yeah. So other than that, really nothing new in hockey. That Pastrnak is still unsigned. You'd think that's going to come now.
A bunch of trade rumors, apparently.
Yeah. You'd think that's going to come now after Draisaitl has been traded, or been signed.
Yeah.
Because, you know, there's reports that one camp was seeing what the other one was going to do and then counter it, so.
Yeah.
And then Boston already flat out said they're not going to trade him, so we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
Probably within the next week, I would say, there's going to be some rumors about his new
contract. Well, there's already rumors, but I bet you next week there'll be confirmation.
Yep. So, for hockey, that's really all.
I do have one other thing. In a friendly pre-Olympic tournament game, which I don't know why they call it pre-Olympics because that's still months away, but anyways, Russia and Canada were playing and there was a line brawl.
Yeah.
That's funny as shit.
Bringing back the good old rivalry from 72.
Summit Series!
Wee-wee! But yeah, other than that, not really too much hockey.
No, not really.
It's
only 50 days until home openers.
Homo opener? Like, what about homos?
Home opener.
Oh, yeah.
I don't care what you do with homo pers.
I just thought, yeah. So, yeah, that's all we have for hockey.
That's all.
Baseball, not really much going on, but.
Tulowitzki's apparently on the long-term disability, which I didn't even know he was injured.
Well, he's always injured, isn't he?
Like 60 days or something like that, apparently. Which is basically almost the rest of the season. Oh, that's pretty much the rest of the season.
So what you're saying is the Jays actually have a shot for wild card?
No.
They're only 4 games out, though.
No.
I don't know.
The answer's no.
Donaldson's finally starting to hit the ball.
Too little, too late.
Too low?
Little, too low! So.
But yeah, a lot of teams are trying to do the post trades or whatever. Baseball's weird. You can trade after the trade deadline.
Yeah, I don't get it.
It's like if you clear revocable waivers, then you're allowed to negotiate a trade with another team, and then the team can either pull you off that list or trade you.
Yeah.
The Blue Jays did that with Estrada. Apparently they put him on revocable waivers. Another AL East team claimed him or put in a claim for him, and Blue Jays just took him off.
Yeah.
That Stanton from Miami, the one who just hit his 43rd home run, he cleared the waivers.
That's crazy.
So he could be traded. I don't know. Just seeing like big guys get traded is kind of funny to watch because it's like, you're doing well, but nobody wants
you. Not well enough.
Yeah. You're the only reason why this team has a shot. Get the fuck out.
Yeah.
Agreed. So, yeah, then other than that, NFL preseason has kicked off.
I have a question. What happened with Ezekiel Jackson? Why is he suspended 6 games?
Because he hit a female, I believe.
There should be a lot more suspensions in football.
Well, I mean, I think it's pretty much a thing. If you play on the Dallas Cowboys, before you play a game, you have to punch a woman. I don't know if that's an accurate thing. But, I mean, just history has shown that, you know.
It's a tradition. One person a year got to smack a bitch.
Yeah. I mean, if anybody doesn't want to believe me, just tell me what Greg Hardy's doing right now.
He's not helping the Hardy boys. That's for damn sure.
No. We'll get to talk about the Hardys later.
Yeah.
Probably a couple minutes because we're almost done with everything else. But yeah, no, NFL preseason's kicked off about time because, oh, man, have I missed not having any football.
Well, the Eskimos are doing well.
Yeah, so I've been dying without having any football.
Fair enough.
But yeah, no, that is a thing. I'd want 23 injuries now since the beginning of the season. The Eskimos are now 7-0.
They're doing a little bit of all right. Huh? Little bit of all right.
Now, they play Winnipeg. I believe it's today, which we're recording on. No, but it's tomorrow, so we're recording on the Wednesday.
Yeah.
So they play Thursday, which is tomorrow, against Winnipeg. And then they do, I believe it's a home-and-home against Calgary.
No, it's next week is against...
Or, no, sorry, they go Winnipeg, then Saskatchewan.
Yeah,
and then,
Saskatchewan.
Then the home-and-home with Calgary.
And I know it's Saskatchewan because Mrs. Manaik and myself will be at that game for a nice special reason, which I will reveal next week. What the hell? If you don't understand, folks, sorry, I'm driving right now because we're on our way to the concert and people are dumb as shit.
Yeah, and I am in control of the podcast machine, so yeah, it's legal.
Completely Whoa. Illegal.
I don't know. I'm allowed to be distracted, right, as long as you're not?
I've never been undistracted while driving in my life.
Hey, look, a pig.
Where?
I don't know. Yeah, no, so pretty impressive for the Eskimos being 7-0,
yeah,
despite all the injuries. But also, what I find is impressive, boom, this Sunday's NXT TakeOver 3 Brooklyn card. Boom.
You mean this Saturday?
That's what I meant.
Okay.
I'm also thinking about SummerSlam, which also looks pretty impressive.
You did a little bit of all right for both.
Yeah. Should we start talking about NXT TakeOver 3?
Let us dive in. All right.
Full first match, I'm assuming is going to be the opening match, is Johnny Gargano against Andre Cien Almas.
Probably.
I'm
not going to lie, I don't really care for Almas anymore. He had a little point in time where I'm like, hey, I'll watch him, but now I don't care.
See, I actually like it because he's kind of getting more of a mean streak again. And, like, really kind of, like, I believe it's Aries' wife that's with him.
Really?
Yeah, I forget her name.
Oh, I didn't realize Aries' wife was
I'm bad with other men's wives' names.
True story.
So, anyway, but I believe, yeah, she's... It's the same chick who played AJ in the movie. I think it's AJ.
Thea Trinidad?
Yeah.
I don't think that's her. She's not nearly dark enough to be Thea.
Yeah, no, I'm pretty sure that's her.
Oh, okay, whatever. Well, whether she is or not, I don't know.
I'm 50% positive that it's her.
50%? Woo! It's a pass.
Yeah, I'm just saying. What? I'm no scholar when it comes to trying to guess who other men's wives are.
True.
Anyway, yeah, but now that he's with her, I'm finding a lot more of that mean streak, which I kind of like because now it kind of brings out a little bit more aggression, and I like it. It gives him a little bit more of a layer for a heel.
Yeah.
And I don't think there's any better sympathetic babyface in NXT than Johnny Gargano.
That's very true.
So the fact that Ciampa is still out, and they're saying he's out till what, February?
I have not heard, but that would not surprise me.
Yeah, I mean, I fully expect Johnny Gargano to get the win here, but at the same time, I wouldn't mind seeing Almas pull one out and then get the win. But also keep this kind of going up until Ciampa actually comes back. Because they do another takeover before Royal Rumble, don't they?
I think the day before Rumble is the next one.
Yeah, and then it's right before WrestleMania is the other one, correct?
Yes.
So my thing is, have Gargano and Almas just feud up until that Royal Rumble takeover. Have Ciampa then come back and attack Gargano after the match, and boom, and then you have that match set for the WrestleMania one.
That'd be good.
So, yeah, so hopefully that's what they do. I can't really say it, but I mean, I do expect a good match because I actually don't expect either one of these guys to not put on a good performance.
No, that's true, yeah.
I mean, if they do kick off TakeOver, especially Brooklyn now, which Brooklyn seems to be the home of the SummerSlam weekend.
Yeah.
Because this is, what, the fourth year? At least, no, third year. And they're returning already next year.
Yeah, so next year before.
It's basically the home.
Yeah.
That's also another thing I'm going to ask you later. Of just, you know, whether or not they should, you know, always stay in the same city for this our show. But I want to continue on with the NXT. But first, like, your thoughts with Gargano and Almas.
I'm thinking, again, I agree with you, Gargano gets the win, but maybe I'll have to be a little more open-minded when it comes to Almas and give him a chance again. I personally, as of right now, don't care about him. But that's just me.
See, I also didn't like him as a babyface. I thought he was
He failed
way too vanilla.
Yeah, failed as a babyface horribly.
Now that he has this layer of, I don't care about the matches, I just want to go to parties and have fun. And then now it's like, okay, screw it, I just want to beat people up and then have fun after. I kind of like, you know, that layer.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I mean, I just like to see a little bit more development with the character, and then obviously see how him and I believe it's Thea Trinidad are. I'm sure if we're wrong, Mike the ref will
most correct likely us. Text us as soon as he gets this, yeah. And we won't care.
You know, the one thing we all know about Mike the ref, he's a strong supporter of women wrestling. And there's nothing wrong with that.
There's anything wrong with that. Yeah. Hell, my dad's a woman.
Yeah, he is now a Facebook friend of mine.
Really?
Yeah.
He clearly has no friends.
Oh, I know. I thought I'd be a little sympathetic.
You're a good guy.
You know. So this leads now us to, I don't know if it's going to be the second match on the card or if it's going to be just another match, but I'm going to go straight into the tag team match here, where it's Sanity against the Authors of Pain. And I very much liked the last NXT.
My question is, who's going to be the face? Is Sanity kind of looking like the faces here? Or
I think so. Because I think Authors of Pain just look like the, they're always going to be perceived as the bigger group.
Yeah.
And the bigger guys out of the matchup. But my thing is, when you have Killian Dane, do you really have a size advantage for one?
Not really.
And then Alexander Wolf, who I believe, yeah, like,
he's not insane.
He's not a small guy either.
No.
In fact, Eric Young is actually the small guy out of the group.
Well, I'd say Nikki Cross is a small guy out of the group, but that's me.
I don't know. That chest definitely shows she ain't no guy.
Just a lot of pec work here.
She's a little bit of all right, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a crossover, takeover.
Cross take.
That I wouldn't be opposed.
Taking the crossbody.
Huh.
In the face.
In the mouth.
In the mouth!
But yeah, no, just with the last NXT where you saw Sanity zip tie one of the Authors of Pain to the guardrail. And then isolate the other.
Which is very heelish, but I liked it.
It was also, it was like if S.H.I.E.L.D. actually had a little bit more of an edge during their initial, like, heel run.
S.H.I.E.L.D., we'll get to that.
Yeah. It'd be pretty, dynamic.
Yes.
So, yeah, with that being said, I mean, I very much liked it. And I think it established Sanity as a contender right away.
Yeah.
So, I by no means think Authors of Pain are going to lose the tag titles.
No, I don't
However,
think so.
However, I'm going to say it. I'm not going to be surprised if they do. Because I also look at who is next. Outside of Heavy Machinery,
I
don't...
Oh, I just... Eh.
Yeah, and that's exactly my thought. I don't think they're ready to carry a top feud in.
No.
So, I think Sanity, Authors of Pain, could again be more than just a one takeover special.
Yeah.
So maybe the switch might not be the worst thing in the world.
Yeah, and, I agree.
And if it's if it's three against two, sorry to cut you off. I mean, I would believe if Sanity gets a win because of that.
Yeah, the one thing I will say is give it a couple months, and. Well, I'd say almost 6 months to a year. I think that new guys, was it the Street Profits? I think they're going to be champions. They came out, and everything they did, I really liked about them on the last NXT.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I mean, I was very curious to see how they're going to be. Also, I'm kind of just interested to see if anything happens between Oney Lorcan and Danny Burch. They had one match. They wanted one more. I could very much see something happening where they align with one another.
Yeah, kind of like the whole Sheamus and Cesaro thing.
Yeah. But this time, it's instead of out of, you know, they're being forced to tag team, I think they might just respect each other so much that they decide to go in together and then get it done.
Yeah.
But, so I don't know, like...
Do you think there'll be a third match at TakeOver, like an impromptu one?
You know what? I wouldn't be surprised. But with that being said, NXT generally doesn't overbook their shows. They're very quite simple in that.
We're usually five matches.
Maybe six.
Yeah.
At the most.
And we're sitting at five right now.
So, yeah, so that's just my... kind of just where I stand with that. I don't know. Like, what do you think?
What, for the matches?
Yeah, like, do you think there's going to be an impromptu, or...
I think there definitely could be. I think an impromptu, because there are five matches. If they do a little bit shorter for all of them, I think there definitely could be one thrown together. And, but then again, I think they want to give these guys the time. And that might be a main event of a TakeOver, just the show on the WWE Network.
So, because, yeah, my thing right now is, I mean, they definitely have the Hideo Tommy Cassius Ohno thing going.
Yeah.
But is that an actual match?
Yes, yes, it's been confirmed. Well, sorry, not for them. It's actually the match is Hideo Tommy versus Aleister Black.
Yeah, so that's what I was going to say. So I very much think that you're going to see something develop between Cassius Ohno and Hideo Tommy.
Yeah.
At some point. And that's exactly kind of where I wanted to lead to, because I also looked at Aleister Black as a wild card of, he is too good not to be on the TakeOver, but he had nothing kind of going.
Yeah.
Like, who was he going to go against? And now we find out that it's against Hideo Tommy. I don't think I really like this match to begin with, simply because I don't think this does anything for Aleister Black. So if Hideo Itami quote unquote loses to Aleister Black, which I do think will happen, and Cassius Ohno goes for the, you know, it's okay buddy, like we're here, and then just completely turns on him.
Yeah.
That is my prediction for this match. I just, you know, to me this just seems like, okay, well, you could have done this on TV and I would have cared the same amount.
Yeah.
But I still just want to see Aleister Black in something that actually is meaningful.
Yeah.
Not just a put-together match, because I think Aleister Black is at that point in his NXT career where we need to see him in a feud or a program at the very least.
Something a little more higher than what he's done so far.
Yeah, and I just think, you know, a talent like that, I mean, it would help evolve kind of, you know, the long term of Aleister Black and just get that propelled. So I just don't understand why. But, I mean, you know, who knows? Maybe by the end of the show, you know, something will come to light and we'll see. I don't know. What do you think about that match?
I mean, I'm looking forward to it because I like Aleister Black's stuff. But, you know, and actually, I do kind of like the whole Hideo Itami, how he's going kind of darker and, you know, more for himself, doing a heelish thing. I'm intrigued to see where it goes, but the main feud is not this. It's Hideo Itami versus Cassius Ohno. So I'm part of me liking it. Part of me is wondering what exactly is going to come from this. It seems like kind of almost a match to set something different up.
Now, here's a left field thought. What happens if Cassius Ohno helps Hideo Itami?
Turns heel. That'd be interesting. Do you think that there's a plethora of faces enough that they can warrant turning him heel?
Well, I think there could be another baby face coming in the sense that...
Triple H!
No, but I mean, we can now say it's official. Adam Cole, baby, has signed with the WWE.
Really? I did not know that.
He signed Monday, from what I've been told. And
by your sources inside?
Yeah. which is my, that I'm not going to reveal inner sources.
Yeah, just don't.
But yeah, no, the belief is that he's going to be at NXT TakeOver.
That'd be sweet.
And he's going to be like the, you know, the big signing kind of announcement. So my question is, now that you have, say, the Adam Cole coming in.
Bye-bye.
I mean, he is not going to get booed when he debuts.
No, that is very true.
Not to mention, you have other Ring of Honor type talent there.
Kyle O'Reilly, Bobby Fish.
Yeah, and there's been talks about doing a Ring of Honor faction. Now with the addition of Adam Cole, who's the only 3-time Ring of Honor world champion.
Only guy ever. Ever.
This could be a thing that could propel a face stable.
Yes. Actually, 3 of them together would be sweet.
And this would actually allow them to use Sanity as a heel stable at this point.
Yeah, that's true. So feud with them.
But yeah, no, I mean, yeah, no, I do think there are enough baby faces in NXT for Cassius Ohno to turn. I don't think that will happen. But at the same time, it would make things a little bit more interesting and give Aleister Black that program that he...
A 2-on-1 thing, that would also be all right.
Because he would...
Or it'd be a good way to introduce Adam Cole and doing a 2-on-2, some sort of tag. And
or even a, you know, somebody else. Like, maybe there's another...
Someone new?
Well, I mean, there are talks that after SummerSlam, they could be doing another shake-up, but this time bringing more people from the roster back to NXT.
That'd be all right.
So...
John Cena. That guy needs to go down.
The one name that I do think will actually happen there could be Dolph Ziggler.
Makes sense. He hasn't been used at all.
And he's now 36. I can just see...
Almost kind of being like the guy who... Kind of like Tyson Kidd was, going down there, working with guys, making them more legit kind of thing.
Well, Tyson Kidd also went back down to prove himself like Zack Ryder did.
Yeah.
And kind of had to reinvent himself when... Harry Smith left the company.
Yeah.
And then he found Cesaro, and that became the thing. And Zack Ryder did the same thing, where he ended up tagging with Mojo Rawley, and then he's on there again, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, we kind of drifted off topic, but at the same time, it's, you know... if this is to happen, like, this would definitely create a dynamic between the four individuals that could make things interesting. But yeah, this is me just literally kind of trying to...
Spitball!
Yeah, but also evolve on, you know, what's the point of this Deo or Tommy Aleister Black match?
Yeah, definitely you give it some merit, shall we say.
But moving on, now we do what I believe will be the semi-main event, and that is the Women's Championship match between Ember Moon.
Yes.
The challenger, and then going against the champion, Asuka.
Yes.
As much as I want to say that Asuka should, or is kind of at that time where she should be promoted to the main roster, I just don't see it happening until Mania at the earliest. So I don't see the point of Asuka losing the title.
I do. I see her losing it and then starting the transition.
But at the same... My other question on this... Would Asuka... kind of get the treatment that Paige got, where she makes the debut as NXT Women's Champion, win, and then maybe does some to the point where they just end up stripping her of the title?
I guess it's possible, yeah.
And therefore, she still keeps her undefeated streak and doesn't lose any credibility by getting beaten.
I mean, yeah, I mean, it's a possibility. I don't know. I think they've been trying so long, though, to get this Ember Moon Asuka one-on-one match to happen. I think it's going to happen where she wins the title and is the one who finally officially beats Asuka and defeats the streak.
See... I think this is my prediction. If Asuka, who's portrayed as a heel, wins, I'm going to believe that there's going to be an opposite ending to the heavyweight title. But if Ember Moon wins, I believe that will guarantee Bobby Roode a successful title defense.
I'm thinking there's going to be one title that changes hands. It's going to be one of the single ones.
Yeah. So with that being said, I'm putting my money on Asuka. I do think she retains, but I don't think this is the only time Ember Moon and Asuka face.
Well, no. Assuming that, you know, Ember Moon stays healthy.
Well, I mean,
she has a bit of a problem doing that.
She's been hurt once.
Twice?
Yeah, but only once I really took her out of an actual takeover. But you also said the same thing about Hideo Tommy, and
yeah,
he's been fine since. But I will also give Ember Moon credit. She took one hell of a bump to hurt her shoulder.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know.
I think I'm going to have to disagree with you on this one, and I think that Ember Moon wins. And I'm going to bet this piece of garbage right here against it.
Oh, no, I already have that.
Oh.
It's in... Yeah, it's in a different color, but yeah.
Well, fuck you then!
But no, my thing is, if Asuka loses, what happens with Asuka afterwards?
Goes main roster. I think, regardless, she debuts after SummerSlam.
And where would you stick Asuka on the main roster?
Raw.
I think that is the one that needs it.
No, but I have a feeling that they'll take her.
No, but I mean, like, when it comes down, when you're comparing the two divisions, I believe Raw needs that addition over SmackDown.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, she could go to either one, but I think Raw's the bigger brand. I think they just, Shinsuke's on Raw, or SmackDown, so I think they put her on Raw. Have a bit of the Japanese presence on both.
Now, my consensus, and we'll actually talk about this after, too, but my consensus is that I don't think they're going to do a lot of additions on the main roster if they do their shakeup. I think there'll be more subtractions. Therefore, I could see not a lot of changes on this Brooklyn takeover.
Yeah.
With that being said, this is what now brings me to the main event, which is Drew Galloway against Bobby Roode for the NXT title. Again, I don't see them making anything a big change here. I do think Bobby Roode will.
This one I agree with you. I think Bobby Roode will retain.
Will retain. But at the same time, this is going to be the shocker that I would not be surprised. At least I do think Drew Galloway, or McIntyre, whatever you want to call him, has just as good of a shot dethroning Bobby Roode and keeping the story relevant between the two than Bobby Roode winning and just completely ending it.
Yeah. There's also the possibility of having Roderick Strong do something. Because he's been, you know, gunning for Bobby Roode for weeks now?
Yeah.
Because of the whole, like, Bobby Roode insulting his family. So I could see Bobby Roode costing Drew McIntyre the match and setting something up there. And almost sort of like a triangle for the title kind of thing.
Yeah, and this very well could lead into a triple threat.
Because like, it's supposed to be the first week after that they do the tapings after takeover is supposed to be whoever wins versus Roderick Strong.
See, now maybe this could be the surprise or that we were expecting. Maybe before the match takes place, we'll see McIntyre or Roode turn into a triple threat with the addition of Roderick Strong.
That's very possible.
Now, what would you think about the end of NXT TakeOver Brooklyn? Is Roderick Strong winning to become the new NXT champion? Would that not be something?
That would be very surprising. I think even if it was a triple threat, I think McIntyre would win. And triple threat keeps the, I think he'd pin Roderick Strong. And then they keep it going between Bobby Roode.
See, if it's a triple threat, I'd side even more on Bobby Roode.
That's true.
And I'd have Bobby Roode pin Roderick Strong.
I can see. I think if it ends up being a triple threat, regardless of whether it's McIntyre or Roode that wins, they'll be pinning Roderick Strong. It's kind of the third man keeping going.
So, anyway, that is our NXT Brooklyn Takeover preview.
You don't like it? Don't give a fuck.
No, just watch it. It'll be good.
Yeah.
And what you can also do while you enjoy NXT TakeOver Brooklyn 3, is you can go over to whatamaneuver.net, where you can select the purchases of any of your following OG The Struggle gear or
Vintage OWB.
And there will be additions sooner than you think.
Agreed.
Anybody who has been privy to the Facebook of Maniac and Chris Parrish kind of have seen a leak of what's to come. Yeah. So expect new merchandise on What a Maneuver soon. Outside of that, if you do not wish to watch NXT TakeOver Brooklyn 3, but you also wish to go to whatamaneuver.net and buy some of our cool shit, then you can also go to iTunes, Podbean, Google Play, the YouTube.
Buy this?
And subscribe to,
okay.
To Edmonton Sport Podcast Network.
It's like buying it for free, though.
Yeah. And download the Sounds of Struggle podcast.
Yes.
And listen to all 36, including the one you're listening to now.
There's 35 before this.
Yeah.
We're getting middle-aged, boy.
We are. We're now thinking a lot about what we haven't accomplished yet. And we're going to rush into the things that we want to do.
Yep. Getting ready to have a midlife crisis, I think.
Yeah. So, do it. Because, you know, what else
are you
going
to
do?
And if you don't, then I don't care.
Yeah, don't talk to us ever again.
You're a dick.
Yeah, you're dead to us.
Dead.
Anyway.
Before we get into SummerSlam predictions, a couple quick things. Charlotte flashed her ass to the crowd in Toronto at the Raw show. No, SmackDown show, sorry. That's funny.
Woo!
Exactly.
Speaking of a woo, we want to send out our get well wishes and prayers to the Nature Boy Ric Flair.
Yeah, so I guess he was put in a medical-induced coma before having colon surgery, and looks like he's starting to come through, but still not out of the water yet.
Still serious.
So, yes.
Still critical, as they pronounce it. So, again, all the best wishes and prayers to the Nature Boy.
And his family.
Yes.
Including Charlotte.
Yeah. Who has a nice ass, by the way.
Yes. And she showed it to Toronto.
Yeah.
Lucky people.
They saw her T-Dot.
Yeah, they saw it in the six. Yeah. Cruiserweight title changed hands on Raw, or Corbin failed to cash in and failed. Which one do you want to talk about first? Leading into.
Let's talk about the cruiserweight because I want to start off with the good. Because that actually was a good match. And the one thing I think I'll get about a wrap is the cruiserweight division, just for whatever reason, isn't panning out the way that I think everyone hoped it would.
Well,
but
I wouldn't even say it's like it's not like not even, you know, people shit on you for saying that. It's just people aren't interested. They're just the way they're booking it and how they're, I don't know. I'm not interested. Like,
well, I mean, I think here's the problem too. One, you have 205 Live after SmackDown.
Yeah.
So when you have a good SmackDown show, that's a good way to end your night. Not, okay, followed by 205 Live.
Yeah.
If anything, go old school. When you did the Heat Jacked Velocity tapings before the show itself, that's when you should do 205 Live.
Yeah, I agreed.
You know, they should warm up the crowd.
Yeah.
So, and then also during Monday Night Raw, I mean, that's just a long show. And sometimes you just eat the short end of the stick, depending on what segment is before you or what segment is actually after you.
Yeah.
But, you know, with all said and done, I did like the match between Neville and Tozawa.
Hell of a good match.
So,
I just don't know why they couldn't wait to SummerSlam. I mean, it's going to be 6 fucking hours. I mean, I'm sure there's somewhere in there they could just fit the match in.
No, Brock Lesnar is going at least 7 minutes, people.
You're right, there's no time. No time!
Yeah. Big Cass and Enzo need to take at least 40 minutes just to walk down the stage.
Enzo's being put in a cage. It's going to be Big Cass versus fucking Big Show and just...
Yeah, which kind of makes me think. We're getting totally off topic, but Big Cass versus Big Show. I mean, quite original names, people. I mean, why could...
Who's the big boy coming out of this one?
Yeah, I mean, the Big Show versus Big Cass and the Big Apple. Good one, Cass.
But, a lot of big stuff happening.
But why can't they go back to Colin Cassidy right now?
And Enzo Amore with his big mouth.
And you can't teach that.
True story.
But no, I mean, I just, you know, if you want to turn, you know, Big Cass heel, kind of give him this new demeanor, why don't you kind of change what we call him too?
Colin the Cassidy Biggins.
Colin the Big. I don't know. I mean, don't get me wrong. Colin is not exactly a tough man name.
He could make it one.
But, I don't know. Something has to be done with Big Cass, though.
Agreed.
He's just not...
I just, honestly, I'm going to say right now, I don't even want to talk about that match because I don't care. I really don't.
Yeah. But we'll get to in the summer.
I don't want to.
But right now, we'll talk about Baron Corbin.
Yes.
Failing on his Money in the Bank cash-in. He came down. Beat up John Cena during his match with Jinder.
Yeah.
Had John Cena go over by DQ in that match. And then...
I like the run-in headbutt that he did. That was pretty funny.
Yeah. But then he came back to the ring to cash in his Money in the Bank.
Yes.
And then as Cena was getting up, they rang the bell. Baron Corbin goes to punch Cena. Jinder Mahal rolls up Corbin, 1, 2, 3.
And he joins the list of John Cena and a former wrestler named Damian Sandow as people who have not cashed in and lost.
Yes. So, last week, all things come in three. Now, the Money in the Bank failures are now a party of three.
So, the next several should win.
Yeah. Well, you think Carmella is a shoo-in.
You think so.
So, but yeah, I mean, what are your thoughts about Baron Corbin?
I think it's funny.
Again, I also don't understand why this couldn't have happened at SummerSlam.
I'm glad that he went out there, saw, you know, did the thing, and then realized, hey, I can cash in right now. He's vulnerable.
I do like the aspect that even though it was a failed attempt, they had it out where, you know what? He went for it, you know, maybe it didn't work out, but at the same time, it kept everyone on their toes, and it really showed that, you know, these cash-ins can happen at any time.
Yeah, I agree.
People can just be like, well, he just got pinned, like nothing happened. Yeah, because, you know, with heel on heel, you don't want too much. You just had Jinder Mahal lose twice on TV as your WWE champion. So then putting him in an impromptu match
where he should lose
for the WWE championship, and he wins in a clean fashion,
yeah,
nonetheless, makes him a little bit more relevant as a champion. And I like the fact now that heading into the second biggest show of the year, SummerSlam, your WWE champion is not walking in on a 2-match losing streak. He's actually walking in on a winning streak.
Yeah.
Where he just won a title defense the week prior.
Yeah, I agree.
So, I do think it gives him a little bit more credibility going in. And let's face it, the match he's in, he'll need as much as he can take, because I don't think anybody's favoring him to win.
Nope.
So, yeah, now we're going to just jump right into our SummerSlam prediction.
Where do you want to start here? There's just tons of stuff we can start at. Let's go with the women's match.
Well, why don't we talk about Big Show and Big Cass? Because we know that's probably going to be one of the first...
Big Cass wins, don't care. I think Enzo tries to drop something to help Big Show out, and Big Cass gets it and uses it against Big Show. Boom, done.
Now, there's been reports that Enzo Amore could be turning heel.
That would be whatever.
my thing is.
Why would you turn heel? I mean, you've been fighting this guy, so you're just going to align yourself with him, whatever? I don't know, whatever.
Well, that's the thing. Do you care?
No.
Exactly.
No, I don't. Moving on.
Okay, well, right, we're just talking about these two, but John Cena versus Baron Corbin.
I think probably John Cena, although I want Baron Corbin to win.
Now, I think a lot leads into my mind that, okay, John Cena just cost Baron Corbin his money in the bank. It makes zero sense to me why you would have John Cena go over knowing...
Yeah, John Cena's never gone over when it didn't make sense, ever. Yeah.
But, I mean, if you look at it, if he's... Well, I guess you can look at it in two ways. He goes over, and then he gets moved to Raw in the shakeup.
Yeah.
So he goes on a Raw looking good. Or he loses to Baron Corbin, and they do this one more time. Because if Nakamura does defeat Jinder Mahal, you know Jinder Mahal gets a rematch.
Yeah.
So John Cena will not be chasing the title at the next pay-per-view.
That's true. So, but he's also a free agent, so it doesn't really matter where he goes. He can go to both.
No, but I do think if the shakeup happens, they will.
Yeah.
I think that whole free agent thing is just so he can later jump to Raw.
Yeah. I want Baron Corbin to win either way.
Yeah.
I think he needs it and can benefit way more than if John Cena just gets another win for no reason.
Well, I think anybody can benefit off a win on John Cena.
Yeah.
John Cena's in that.
John Cena!
I can lose, and it doesn't affect how people look at me.
Because I'm John Cena!
But, I mean, he lost to Shinsuke Nakamura. It only helped Nakamura. It did not hinder John Cena.
John Cena!
So,
yeah.
So now this kind of...
That's all I have to say about that.
Yeah. I do believe that if John Cena goes to Monday Night Raw, this would allow a top babyface from Monday Night Raw to go to SmackDown.
Like John Cena.
So my prediction is if that happens, we could see Finn Balor switch.
And then Raw would get John Cena.
So now I want to go to the Finn Balor, who is going to be the demon, go up against Bray Wyatt.
I think, honestly, Finn Balor wins. Why? Because Bray Wyatt, they never seem to book him over when it, you know, when it's a bigger match. I don't know.
He did win Elimination Chamber.
Yeah, but didn't win at Mania.
No.
Even with all those cool fucking weird effects things. I think it'll be the Demon Balor.
Yeah.
After being poured like goat's period blood or whatever that was on Monday night.
Well, it's probably the blood from my nose.
Ah, nose blood.
Yeah, because, you know, I bled a lot.
Rhinorrhea.
I bled a lot term on Saturday. But, yeah, no, I'm the same way. I do believe Finn Balor is going to get the win here. I do believe they're going to end whatever they have between the two of them. And this is just going to set up to something else. And, again, if Finn Balor is to move, it would make sense that he's on a winning streak going over.
Yep.
So...
Yeah, that would make sense.
And then, okay. But
what else?
We do have a singles match between the Bulgarian Brute Rusev and Randy Orton.
Don't care.
And this seems like it's one of the most thrown together matches out there.
Yeah, I don't care. Rusev benefits more, so I'll say him. But again, I don't care.
And Randy Orton is the guy who will put guys over. I mean, he is the guy who put Jinder Mahal over three times for the WWE Championship.
No, that's true. But again, thrown together. Don't care.
No. I'm going to pick Rusev on this one because something tells me that they're going to do this match again.
Okay.
Whether it's SmackDown or another pay-per-view. So I'm going to give this one to Rusev because I do think he needs it a lot more. But again, Randy Orton is in that I can lose and it doesn't change anything.
Yeah.
So.
Tag match, New Day, or do you want to go with,
Well, you can go New Day.
Let's go New Day versus Usos. I think New Day retains.
And it is going to be, I believe, Big E and Xavier Woods. Yeah.
And you know what? I like the fact, as I said it before, I think a week or two ago, I like the fact that they're putting the emphasis on, Xavier Woods now. I think they retain, although I wouldn't be upset if Usos won it back.
See, now, Here's a thing. I like the fact they're actually announcing who's representing the New Day in tag matches. And I think it's important that Usos on SmackDown actually said, we want to know who we're fighting against.
Yeah.
So now we finally have another tag team establish the mindset that, hey, we're 2-on-3. We want to know what two we're facing.
Yeah.
Which is different because usually the 2-on-3 dynamic doesn't have the baby faces having the numbers attacks.
No.
But in this case, the New Day always seems to have that third number. So my question is that do we see somebody help out the Usos? Or do we see, you know, the New Day defeating the Usos and possibly putting a staple in this? Or do we see the Usos finding a way to overthink the baby faces here? Because in my eyes,
well,
I'm actually going to disagree with you. I do think the Usos walk out tag champions only to keep this thing going.
I'd be okay with that. They did just beat the hell out of Kofi Kingston's leg, so maybe they'll put him out of commission, so it's 2-on-2. But so, honestly, I'd be okay with either outcome. Really would.
Yeah, so, I mean, I would just think that Usos are finally finding their niche mm-hmm. as the heel team and on SmackDown Live. And I think outside of New Day, even if you were to end this, I think there's another. I think there's more babyface teams in the wind than there are heels.
Breezango.
Yeah, who are returning in 25 years.
Or 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Whatever comes first.
So.
Yeah, this will be one of the matches I actually enjoy. I'm looking forward to.
And this might as well go to the Raw Tag Team titles where we see the champions, The Bar, Sheamus and Cesaro.
Facing off against 2/3 of The Shield.
Yeah. Because on Monday Night Raw, we saw...
with the fist pump!
Yeah. Oh man, the drama.
Yeah.
Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose finally can trust one another.
And for now.
Therefore, are going to be challenging Cesaro and Sheamus for the WWE Tag Team Championships. And I'm actually going to just say, I think this is one of the most obvious matches. I do believe we're going to see new tag team champions on Raw.
I agree.
My thing is I do believe this is exactly how the title picture on Raw is going to play out. We're going to see Ambrose and Rollins become the new tag team champions, only for Gallows and Anderson to take it off them, only for the Hardys to take it off Gallows and Anderson, for only the Revival to take it off the Hardys.
Cool. You heard it here first, folks.
I'm just saying.
Gonna happen. For sure!
I do believe that's what the intention was supposed to be, was Hardys and the Revival for SummerSlam, and it's not gonna happen.
Yeah.
But I do believe that the whole thing is to have the Revival become the tag champions at some point.
Assuming they can stay out of the hospital.
I'm going to say WrestleMania. We're going to see Hardys and Revival tag team titles. That's my prediction.
That would be sweet.
I do say 2/3 of the Shield will walk out tag team champions. And then Seth Rollins will become the first guy in the Shield, whether it's the three of them, to hold tag titles with both guys.
He'll also be the first one to... I guess he already is the first one to hold... He hasn't held the Intercontinental, has he?
Nope.
Okay.
Nope.
So, he's still one away. That goes back to the conversation we had
many
moons ago.
No, actually, Ambrose, if he picks up the tag titles, he actually hits that 4-3.
Yes, he does. So, you're right. He could do it here.
And
he could join the... I guess what would we call it? The Grand Slam Club?
Well, he... Yeah. I mean...
Yeah. Because, I mean, the other one that's close now is Kevin Owens.
Yeah, Roman Reigns only needs the Intercontinental.
Yeah.
Rollins only needs the Intercontinental.
Yeah. But it looks like Dean Ambrose will be the first. He's the first one in quite some time to do
it. A lot of people need the Intercontinental.
Which is kind of funny.
Yeah. Because Kevin Owens only needs the tag team.
Yeah.
So, okay.
You know who else needs the Intercontinental? John Cena!
This is true.
What else was there? Do you want to do Styles versus Owens?
Yeah, why not? With Shane McMahon as a special referee.
I don't know where this is going.
I think this is going
to... I'm a little confused.
I totally believe that this is going to start leading to a Shane McMahon versus Kevin Owens feud. Possibly at Survivor Series. where we have either the one-on-one match or Team Shane versus Team Kevin.
That'd be cool.
Team
Shane versus Team America. World Police.
It could be TKO versus Team Shane.
Yeah.
But I do think that this is going to be the thing. It's going to be Kevin Owens against Shane McMahon coming out of SummerSlam. That's going to be the story. Whereas AJ Styles moves on to the next chapter to defend the United States title. I do believe that AJ Styles will walk out of this match still holding the United States title.
Yeah, I can see that.
And if a guy like Finn Balor is to switch, now that is a very interesting matchup. So that kind of is done with that. Let's move on to the women's matches, where we have Naomi going up against Natalya.
Carmella walks out as champion. I think she should wait and do it like, say, at Survivor Series when no one has. But that's just me.
I'm going to actually say Naomi walks out, still women's tag champion on the SmackDown side.
Okay. You know what would be really cool? If Carmella suddenly cashed in and beat Alexa Bliss out of nowhere.
I don't think you can. I think they actually said you cannot cross over.
Fuck! Bullshit!
So,
cocksucker!
That is why the briefcase is blue.
You're fucking blue.
And now I guess the woman's one is
like silver, isn't it?
White.
White? Whatever.
Yeah.
So white. White can go anywhere. White is right.
White can go anywhere. That's a sticky situation.
Yes, it is.
This does take us over to Alexa Bliss, who's defending her Raw Women's title against Sasha Banks, who defeated Nia Jax on Monday Night Raw. Now, my prediction, Nia Jax helps Alexa Bliss retain.
Yes. I can see that.
Now that we see Bayley out of action, I do believe that the whole idea was to turn Sasha Banks heel on Bayley.
You think it's going to happen still?
No, because I don't think we'll see Bayley until she comes back.
Yeah, fair enough.
So I think now this is the one match where it's okay to play it safe.
Yeah.
And, yeah, so I don't think you expect too much here. I think we're both kind of on the same page there. Now what else do we have on the show? I don't believe we have. As of right now, they do have Tozawa going against Neville in the rematch
for
the Cruiserweight Championship.
But still, why didn't he just win it there? I don't understand why on Raw. It just makes no sense. Anyways, whatever. Tozawa retains, and there's no point in him losing it again.
You know what? I'm actually gonna go on the flip side.
You're just being a dick.
No, but if you really think about it, how many people expected that title switch to happen? Very little, right?
Yeah.
How many people now expect Tozawa to lose it?
That's true. Fair enough.
But
it just seems like it's a waste of time. Like, why give it to him for, 5 days? 6 days?
Christian held it for 5 days.
Well, Christian technically held it for 2. I also didn't agree with that.
No.
But that's just what I'm saying.
But at the same time, if it gets people talking...
True.
And we've mentioned before that the Cruiserweight division has not flew the way, it should. And I did say fly, because that's what Cruiserweights are known to do.
I got it.
But if more people are talking about it, more people are going to be watching it. Therefore, the numbers do better. So,
maybe they keep the show, yeah.
So I don't know.
Okay.
I'm going to say, for the sake of unpredictability, Neville walks out. 2-time Cruiserweight champion.
Would he be the first ever? I think he'd be the first ever in this new era.
Yeah. Because
you know who's going to take it from him? Fucking Hornswoggle come back.
Yeah, but I don't think he was the WWE. I think he was just SmackDown. Yeah.
He was the last Cruiserweight champion right before they
got rid of him. I understand that, but I don't think he was... I think they're calling it... I don't know. Could be wrong on there. But you did say of this era, and I would say this era is, the 205 lives.
Yep.
And we all know the title history. There was TJP, Brian Kendrick, Rich Swann, Neville.
A jaw.
So, and then Tozawa.
And then Neville, and then returning Austin Aries out of nowhere.
Well, my thing too, what about the possibility of a guy like Kalisto moving?
Well, I mean, why wouldn't he? Like, he's not doing anything right now.
So maybe Neville does win, finish off the thing with Cesaro,
or give a chance for, you know what, actually no, I like Gentleman Jack Gallagher going into the UK stuff. That makes more sense.
Yeah. And then this brings us to, I'm going to say, the SmackDown Championship match between Jinder Mahal and Shinsuke Nakamura.
Jinder and Shinsuke, I think, I'm thinking Jinder retains. I don't think he loses this one. I think he loses a little bit later on.
See, I do, but I'm going to go out, I'm going to throw this here. WWE opened up the WWE Network in India.
Okay.
And we all know that. Yeah. Same time, Jinder Mahal becomes WWE champion. Now, here's my kind of counterpart. Maybe Shinsuke Nakamura is a better draw for the Indian market than Jinder Mahal.
That makes no sense, but okay.
Because Shinsuke is actually more renowned worldwide than Jinder Mahal is.
Okay.
So, therefore, I do believe Shinsuke beating Jinder Mahal might actually draw up better numbers in the Indian market than Jinder Mahal as WWE champion.
Okay.
Also, I think for the sole purpose of creating not only something new, but also it's one of WWE's major shows.
Yeah, that's true.
Therefore, something major will happen. And because I think it'll happen in this title match and not the other one, I'm going to say Shinsuke Nakamura becomes the new WWE Heavyweight Champion.
That's where I disagree, because I think the other one we'll get to, I think Brock's leaving. I really do. See, well, I mean, why don't we just get to it right now?
Well, that is the next match.
So, like, there's four guys in this match. I don't think Braun's going to take it. Roman Reigns held it before, but I don't think him. I think Samoa Joe might take it.
See, I believe Brock Lesnar is actually going to win. And I think the whole idea is then you can do Braun Strowman, Brock Lesnar, Survivor Series.
Okay.
The whole idea is I don't think that they're willing to give it to Samoa Joe yet. I don't think they want to give it to Roman Reigns yet. I think their dream match is Roman Reigns, Brock Lesnar, WrestleMania.
Okay.
I also do believe that Vince McMahon is one of the few guys that could play on the UFC Brock Lesnar rumors and put it into a WWE storyline.
Oh, absolutely. But that's part of why I'm thinking he might leave if he goes to actually train for this.
But at the same time, even John Jones said he doesn't believe this match is going to happen anytime soon.
True enough. It would be one of the very few, like the last few big money matches that would get non-UFC guys.
There also is the rumor that John Jones might be at SummerSlam.
That would be sweet. Build that up. That'd be awesome. Smart on his part and smart overall. Because if they show him before the match, everyone's going to think that Lesnar's losing.
Now, if John Jones is there and they don't show him on TV, my prediction is Brock Lesnar walking out, still Universal Champion, pinning Samoa Joe.
Okay.
Now, if John Jones is there and they show him, John Jones costs Brock Lesnar the WWE Universal Championship to Samoa Joe.
That would be fantastic. That would be awesome. I would enjoy the fuck out of that.
And because of that, I think either way, we all stand to win. Because I don't think there is a wrong way. Because even if Brock Lesnar loses the title to Roman Reigns, people are still going to go apeshit because it's Roman Reigns. Whether it's in a bad or a good way.
Yeah. And you know what? If, say, Braun Strowman wins it,
I believe he is, out of the four guys,
he's the face.
Your most popular guy.
Yeah.
And I think from an internet standpoint,
I don't know. People really seem to like this Brock Lesnar Suplex City stuff.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. Brock Lesnar also, in itself, is not a full-blown heel.
No, he's much people, he's very much a tweener.
People believe him because he can beat the crap out of people. And that is what they want to see.
I think, honestly, Roman Reigns is the only full-out heel because I think everyone else can be seen as like guys who...
See, and I disagree. I believe Samoa Joe is the only full-blown heel because he is the only one who's attacking people from behind. He is the only one that is costing people matches. He is the only one who will do these underhand tactics. Roman Reigns is just a heel, or is just getting booed, but he's doing nothing wrong.
Oh, no, no. I don't mean like heel as in like, you know, the way they act.
Yeah.
Samoa Joe is very much acting the heel. But I think because he's doing this stuff to Roman Reigns, he's getting a lot of cheers.
Well, I firmly believe anyone can do anything to Roman Reigns and will get cheered.
Yeah.
I believe the only way Roman Reigns stays face is joining Ambrose and Rollins and becoming the Shield once again.
Help them win and then go on to the match that night.
And then if you really badly want Roman Reigns heel, you'd have him then turn on the Shield rep.
Or cost them so they don't win the tag titles.
Yeah, I think that's too much in one night.
Do it. Do it all. Everything in one night. We pay for blood.
Now, what would you say if you saw Roman Reigns with the WWE Universal title and then on Raw have Ambrose and Rollins as the tag champions? And that is something we see. What happens if the whole idea of this main event is more of a signal to bring the Shield back together and take over? Because Seth Rollins did say on Monday Night Raw that when they're together, no one can touch them and they can take over the show at will. Now, here's the situation. They win the tag titles. They help Roman Reigns win the Universal title. They just officially took over the show at will.
That's true.
And then you have three very viable options to go up against your tag champions and that new Universal champion.
True.
So that's just another wrinkle that you could do. I would not be surprised if the Shield fully comes full circle by the end of SummerSlam.
That'd be sweet. I think that would actually make Roman Reigns officially face again.
I think that would be one of the... Because, like, don't get me wrong, I do think Vince McMahon secretly still wants Roman Reigns to be the most cheered person on the roster.
Oh, yeah.
I still think that's...
I don't think it's really a secret, either.
No. So if he was to join the Shield, that is to return, I do think everyone in Brooklyn would go so crazy that they'd want to bring back even the Islanders.
Wow. That'd be crazy.
Or they might actually remember that they actually have an NBA team. Yeah. But that's beside the point.
Yeah, that's true.
So.
That'd be sweet. Like the end of the show, Roman Reigns wins, holds it up, then suddenly... You hear the Sierra, Delta, or Echo, whatever the hell it is. They come down to the ring, two of them. Either side of them, stick the arm out. He does that. That's the last image you see. Shields back together. That'd be sweet.
A little tidbit. Do you think Rollins or Ambrose will wear matching... Like anything matching or anything closer to a Shield resemblance?
I think they're going to wear their own stuff.
Because we all know Roman Reigns... basically changed nothing from his look. He just went from anything that said Shield to Roman.
Yeah, to RR.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So, that's our SummerSlam preview.
And
our predictions.
Those are predictions. We're going to watch. We're going to have fun. We're going to have a big old struggle party.
Yeah. First ever...
invite only?
Yeah. First ever tag struggle sleepover.
Tag struggle slumber J party.
Well, if we're the Sounds of Struggle, would this be the sleepover of Struggle?
Sounds of Sleepover.
It sounds?
Oh, there's going to be sounds, all right.
Sleepover Struggle.
Damn right.
SOS, baby. There we go.
So, I think we should wrap this up because we have a concert to go see.
Yeah. We're going to wrap it up like Christmas gifts because, you know.
We're going to wrap it up like a lot of...
Who doesn't like the element of surprise?
Yeah.
That's gonna do for episode 36. I am Chris Parrish.
I am Maniac!
And the next time you'll hear us will actually be this weekend. We're gonna be...
Which will have Sean Martins!
Yes, the headline will make his Sounds of Struggle debut.
You've been asking for it, we have a guest. And it's our third boss.
If you haven't been asked for it, then we weren't fucking asking you to begin with.
Debut of Big Show Nasty. Shawnee Boy. Yeah.
Shawnee Boy.
I said Shawnee Boy. But yeah, anyways. For Sounds of Struggle, this is Sounds of Struggle.
And we are real.
But more importantly, we are
spectacular.